Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
We're speaking this morning with Jen Curry, and Jen is a professional counselor here in Milford, and we welcome her once again to the show. Jen, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing okay. So glad you are here. Last week, you know, we tackled domestic violence, and we want to expand on that and talk about the signs. Now, if someone is in one of those relationships, or you know someone who is that you think is in an abusive relationship, what are some of the signs that you should be looking for?
Well, you know, I think, you know, first of all, I just want to take a minute to also just sort of define the different types of abuse and what we're even referring to when we're talking about that. And there's typically generally three types. And there's psychological / emotional, right, which is going to be a lot of where someone is blaming, where they are maybe isolating the victim, which can also be a sign if you find that your loved one is not able to come around and they're kind of closed off. You don't really understand why. Could also be that the abuser is keeping them from their loved ones. There's a lot of blaming, a lot of shaming, intimidation. Then you have verbal, which similar, but it's going to focus more on the actual words that are used. So a lot of criticizing and insulting and name calling and threatening, things like that. And then, of course, physical. So I should say actually four, right? So, of course, there's physical where there's, you know, physical harm that's done to the person in hitting or kicking or strangling, all these horrible, horrible things, right? And then, of course, sexual abuse, otherwise known as molestation, right? Unwanted sexual contact. So all of these, right, take and look and have different forms, but regardless, they all end up leaving the person horribly, feeling horribly, and often feeling stuck in situations they can't get out of.
I guess what worries me a little bit about that, Jenny, is those are all signs, which I think some of them, you know, maybe you could spot from an outside source.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's going to be anybody who's in that relationship and you're kind of internally thinking, oh, that maybe I am in an abusive relationship. But for myself or for Tony or for you, for somebody who is an outside spectator or a brother, a sister, you know, somebody who loves these people, but don't know for sure if they're in that kind of a relationship because we're not in the house seeing these things happen, how do we catch on to it or how can we help?
Well, you know, the thing is, too, the longer that the abuse goes on, sometimes the more brazen that the abuser gets. So, you know, for example, with verbal, right, the sign could be you notice maybe initially in the relationship, the person, the abuser throws a lot of kind of jabs at the other person and maybe wants to say it in humor. But then as time goes on, it becomes more and more hurtful, darker, more intense. And, you know, so then what's going on behind closed doors could be infinitely worse. But even just kind of seeing perhaps the way that the abuser puts down that other person or doesn't even totally take them seriously, you know, there's the other thing, too, is as far as signs, you know, some of it you see the signs after the fact, right? So that could be resulting in there's a lot of depression, there's anxiety, that even could be some self-harm from the victim if they're really struggling. And say all of a sudden you notice some cut marks on the victim. And that could be because they are in such deep abuse and emotional pain that the only relief that they get is to self-harm and cut.
But I've found, Jen, that sometimes when you insert yourself into people's relationship or you try to reach out a hand or say, you know, what's going on? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
It almost spooks them. I mean, maybe it doesn't, but I think a lot of times it spooks them, like, don't, you know, don't look at me like I've got an issue or don't look at me like my marriage is broken or whatever the case may be. And you reaching out may actually push them further away and more into an abuser's arms. No? How do you avoid that?
Yeah, totally. So that reminds me a little bit of last week when I mentioned how when you notice that there's a problem and how to deal with it, how gently that you have to tread on that, because the person who's being abused is already being highly controlled and manipulated. So when you come in, and if you do notice something, you definitely can't come at it very authoritatively and trying to tell them what to do. And they may get spooked, even if you come in incredibly gentle and you just say, I notice that this seems to be happening. They still may pull away, but I think the more that you're able to listen and to validate without judgment and without coming in with any kind of solution, at least initially, they may be a little bit more open. And if they're not, that just shows you that they're still deeply, deeply entrenched in this abusive mindset and aren't ready to leave.
We're talking with Jenny Curry, professional counselor here in Milford, talking a little bit about domestic violence. But Jen, maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't it all come down to this? I mean, if the person who's being abused doesn't want help, we could talk till we're blue in the face. It could just go on and on and on. And the only person they're going to get mad at is you if they don't want to be helped.
Yeah. So, you know, so I totally, and, you know, I've experienced that as being the person who's tried to help and, you know, had the person upset with me. And that's true. So what I have found over time and more is that just, yeah, accept that that is where they're at. And if they're not open, I say less. And I just say, I love you. I care. I'm here for you. And if they don't want to take my suggestions, I just leave it. And I have to trust that that's something that they have to come to in their own time.
All right. We've run out of time, Jen. If people want more information, if they want to talk to you, what can they do?
Sure. Go to my website, jennycurrycounseling.org.
All right. Sounds good. Jenny, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day.
Lenny Grimaldi knows more about Bridgeport than anyone. Tony and Melissa in the morning. WICC 600.
Some new appointments there at City Hall. What's going on over there? Looks like Joe Ganim was cleaning the house.
We got a little breaking news. Yeah. So yesterday, Mayor Joe Ganim made a couple of key appointments and changes. So Rebecca Garcia, who's the commander of the training academy, she's a captain, has been elevated to assistant chief. So she is now the number two top cop next to AJ Perez. And so I think what the mayor's trying to do is bolster support for the chief. He likes Rebecca Garcia's background as the commander of the training academy because she's very familiar with policies, protocols, the escalation, and some of the areas where the city police department, quite frankly, has had problems in certain neighborhoods, and it's caused a rift in some neighborhoods with the community. So he's trying to repair those relationships and provide confidence that there's someone in at the top who is really familiar with policies, procedures, the escalation, and so on. So that was a key appointment. Elevating her, Rebecca Garcia, to the number two spot. He also promoted Janine Hawkins, who's the head of the Labor Relations Department, to chief administrative officer. What's that? The CAO, as they call it, is the head of the department. So all department heads report directly now to Janine Hawkins. And he also appointed Heron Gaston, a city minister who's a member of the Civil Service Commission, as one of her assistants. So, you know, some changes, and there's going to be more coming, you know, in the next several weeks.
I have a couple things that stand out to me, Lenny, so I'd love to get your thoughts on it. First of all, I can't help but notice that these two very big roles are being filled by women on purpose or just coincidence?
This is much more than symbolic. You know, for Rebecca Garcia, Ganim likes her background. I mean, when you're the commander of the training academy, it covers a broad spectrum of policies and procedures, working with people, interacting with neighborhoods. And as for Janine Hawkins, you know, she has a legal degree. She's been in charge of labor relations for years and, you know, works well with people. And it's a change that Ganim wants to make. You know, after you know, one term in office and get reelected, this is pretty typical for you know, for mayors to make some changes. So these are significant ones. So they're much more than symbolic.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, let's talk a little bit more about Captain Rebecca Garcia, because my understanding, Lenny, is that there hasn't been an assistant chief position for a few years now, at least. I'm pretty sure when Ganim first went back into office, he got rid of the man who was there. So why now? What's the point of having the assistant chief there? I mean, is it really to kind of overhaul maybe some of the things that you had mentioned, or is it to help out Chief Perez, where other people have kind of pointed out he's kind of fallen short with the department?
Yeah, good point. It's both. So Chief Perez has a 5-year contract. I think he's 1 year into his contract, and there's been some issues there that the mayor feels and wants to address. He's gotten some heat in some areas, and he knows that the police department is an area, certainly on the management side, he needs to tighten up. So it's a combination of factors, as you pointed out, that includes providing the chief's stronger support.
Lenny, we have run out of time, my friend. Thank you so very, very much. The blog is called Only in Bridgeport. Go and see it at onlyinbridgeport.com. Lenny, thank you so much.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right. Fran Mako is here. She's from AAA. Franny, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. How are you this morning?
Very good. How about you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, same to you, my dear. Same to you. Now, this is the most traveled week of the year. Actually, tomorrow will be the most traveled day ever for the year. And I'm reading someplace where like 55 million Americans are going to take to the roads. And
correctly.
55 million. I mean, that is amazing. I hope we all play together nice and get through it.
Yes. This actually, Thanksgiving this year is the most folks traveling on record since 2005, since Thanksgiving 2005. So you're right. There is more than 55 million folks are traveling. That's a 3% increase over last year. And of that overall 55 million, 90% are driving. So there's going to be a lot of congestion on the roadways. And out of the 55 million closer to home, about a little more than 2 million will be New Englanders. In other words, 2 million New Englanders will be driving in the region. So people have to take care. One of the things that is driving this travel is the fact that gas prices are on the downswing. And it looks like the national average today is about $2.59. It is 2 cents higher than last year. But hold on to your drumsticks, everybody, because Connecticut, woo-hoo, the average is $2.66. It's a whopping 18 cents lower than this time last year.
Okay. All right. 55 million people. That's a little bit hard to swallow. And I'm also reading last year there was close to 500 accidents, 56 with injuries, 2 fatalities last Thanksgiving holiday. Troopers were busy. I mean, they gave out over 1,000 speeding tickets, 450 for seatbelt violations, and another close to 3,000 for other hazardous moving violations. I mean, we're just not paying attention. Unsafe lane change, following too closely, cell phone usage, texting, failure to signal. The list goes on and on and on.
Yes, we have not. We are not very good drivers. And it just so happens that tomorrow there is a news conference. It's organized and hosted by Senator Tony Wong, who is a frequent guest on your radio show. Mm-hmm. We will be at Trucci with Sergeant Rob Deary, and he's going to go over the statistics, what occurred last year, and what people should do to minimize the potential for crashes this year. I'm going to also talk about things to keep safe, and Senator Long is going to pull the whole thing together. So you are more than invited to attend tomorrow's news conference at 10 o'clock at Trucci.
Okay. All right. What are you going to be talking about? basically.
I will be talking about ways to keep safe during the Thanksgiving travel. Sergeant Dewey is most likely going to review statistics, some of the statistics that you just provided. I do believe there were two fatalities this time last year. What people can do to minimize their risk on the road, basically buckling up, don't drive impaired. You know, Thanksgiving, in recent years, there's been a trend called Blackout Wednesday. It's generally among college students, but because it's the start of a four-day week or a four-day holiday, most folks are off on Friday, a lot of folks tend to overindulge in marijuana, in alcohol, and unfortunately, it becomes a major traffic safety issue when they take to the roads. So we're going to discuss some of those aspects.
Okay, and what time does that start?
Starts at 10 a.m. at Troop G on Prospect Street in downtown Bridgeport.
Okay, all right. We're talking with Fran Mako from AAA, talking a little bit about the Thanksgiving holiday and travel. What can you tell us about the airports, Fran? Can you shed any light on that for traveling?
Sure. You know, it's funny. I was at JFK yesterday dropping my son off to visit my daughter, and there was absolutely nobody on the road. I couldn't believe it. But then, you know, the shoemaker's kids don't have shoes. I don't read my own news releases. I realized that Monday is the least traveled day. It's, in other words, it's the best time really to go anywhere because traffic is generally less. But this year, folks, many folks will be traveling also, will be flying. About 4.5 million folks, 4.4 million folks will fly. That's only 8% of that overall 55 million folks. It is an increase over last year. And the best thing to do is to, you know, people who are going anywhere most likely have left Monday, yesterday, or the previous weekend if they're flying. It's the folks that are going to Granny's for pumpkin pie generally are going to be leaving on Wednesday. Unfortunately, they're going to be mixing with the evening commute because most folks tend to leave 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon, and that's where the holiday crush is going to start. So tomorrow, it's going to be a bit crazy in late afternoon.
Okay. All right. Fran, if anybody wants more information on all of this, where can they go?
Sure. You can go to AAA.com. And hook into my news and traffic safety column, or you can call me at 203-937-2595, extension 4615.
All right. Fair enough. Franny, we want you to have a really nice Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll pick it up all again in December. Thank you so much.
Take care. See you soon.
All right. There you go. That's Fran Mako, AAA.